Take a look at today is something at the very beginning of Lech Lecha. Truth is, we're going to start at the very end of Noach, because there's a curious story that takes place and a curious character who shows up, and who we hear details about when we're a little bit surprised as to why. And I will share this, that and just kind of a nice thing is, you know, I go to the Meiyun every summer in Alon Shvut. I give a lecture and I listen to 24 others. And I always try to find some new people, people that I haven't had a chance to hear yet. And so I circle a couple names and I go, you know, go to the shiur. And sometimes they're great and I have a new person to stalk, basically. And sometimes, you know. And I found a fellow, Dr. Tzvi Shimon. I had no idea. The topic looked kind of interesting. And I went to it and I was absolutely blown away. I thought it was great. And just to like put a little final thing on it, the other day I went peeking on Rambi, which is the online database of Jewish articles anywhere. That's a fantastic database, and I checked him out, and I found that he had actually written an article that seemed to somehow dovetail with the shiur. So the article was not in a journal; the article was a part of a festschrift for somebody. And I didn't have access to the book, I didn't have time to get to UCLA, so I emailed him, got his email, Bar Ilan, emailed him, and it said, would you be kind enough to send me the piece? And a day later, I got a beautiful note from him, and a copy of the article, which I had a chance to read just before I got here. But anyhow, you know, these connections are nice connections. In any case, what I'm going to give you is essentially, although I'll add my own pieces in, essentially the gist of what he gave over the course of an hour and 10 minutes in 25. If you were to ask, where does the Avram story start? So the average person on the street would say Lech Lecha. We even sort of think of we think of the Parshiot in Bereishit as being sort of in pairs. Bereishit and Noach is the pre-Abrahamic stories. Noah, Lech Lecha and Vayera is Abraham, Chayisar and Toldot is Yitzchak, Vayetze, Vayishlach is Yaakov, Vayeshev through the end is Yosef and his brothers. They all kind of come like that. And we don't think about the fact that Avram is actually introduced at the end of Noach, and that introduction carries with it a lot of significant things. We're going to read it through. So what I did here is put on page one the end of Noach and the beginning of Lech Lecha together with the break, which is the Masoretic break that you have in the Torah between the two chapters. Not because of the chapters, but that's where the break is. We're going to take a look at it, and along the way we'll ask some questions. And the bigger question that I want to ask is, who cares about Terach? Now, I don't know if you raise your hands, but why is Terach highlighted here? And you'll see he's highlighted. You could argue that, well, Terach is our ancestor, but so is Serug, and so is Reu, and so is Nahor, and yet they don't get the same treatment that Terach has. Let's take a look at it. Along the way, we'll ask a few other questions. And these questions, believe it or not, will have a lot of impact on the story of Abraham.
Does he get credit for being the one to move?
Let's see. This is the beginning of the Terach story. Vayoled et Avram et Nahor ve et Haran. It's all in English underneath. All right, so Terach 70 when he has his kids. Does that mean that he's 70? Does that mean he's 70 when he starts having kids? Does it mean that by the time he's 70, all kids are born? Does it mean that at the age of 70 he has triplets? We don't know.
The translation says he's lived 70 years.
He lived 70 years, and then he has his kids. So these kids are, right now, we'll just say, we assume Avram is 70 years younger than his father. Okay. Ve'ela Tolo Terach. Now, Ve'ela Tolo Terach is an introduction which is used numerous times in Bereishit, but for whom? Who gets an Ela Toldot? And before that? Adam, Noach, Shem, Ela Toldot Shem, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Terach. Kind of weird. Avram doesn't get it. By the way, Yishmael and Esav get it also. Because like all the tributaries of the family. But Terach gets this Ela Toldot introduction, which is kind of strange. Now, there's an easy answer to that, because who are Terach's sons? Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Avram, of course, critical for us. Why is Haran critical for us? Because Haran is the father of Lot. And why is Nahor the critical for us? Because he is the grandfather of Rivka and Leah, and the great-grandfather of Rachel and Rivka and Laban, and the great-grandfather of Rachel and Leah. So really, Terach, the whole family that we are, is all Terach. So we get why Eila told the Terach. Okay. And then we're given a note. Eila told the Terach, Terach holid at Avram et Nahor et Haran, and then a note, Baharan holid at Lot. Now we're not told about Avram's kids, although in a minute we're going to be told he doesn't have any. We're not told about Nahor's kids, but we're told that Haran has a kid named Lot. And as far as we're concerned, that may be the only kid he has. All right? But he has a kid named Lot. Why is Lot mentioned here? And this kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. Normally we speak about children as being children of parents. We don't talk about people as being parents of. Why is Haran holid at Lot a significant thing? It's foreshadowing what's something that's going to happen very soon. Right? Good. And now, Vayamot Haran al Pnei Terach Aviv. This is the second time in history that we hear about it, although if you look at the math, it's the third, that we hear about a child predeceasing a father. The first one, obviously, is Hevel. But here we have Haran dying in the presence of Terach, meaning Terach's alive, and Haran dies, and Terach seems to be there. And where does he die? Be'eretz Molad'to Bi'ur Kasdim. What does Eretz Molad'to mean? Land is where he was born, in Ur Kasdim. And at this point, it seems like the entire family is in Ur Kasdim, and the entire family started out in Ur Kasdim, and where is Ur Kasdim? There's some sort of dispute, but typically we see it in Lower Mesopotamia, somewhere along the rivers in Bavel, Ur Kasdim. So he dies there. And again, why do we care about this? We want to find out Avram. We'll find out now. Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Avram and Nachor get married. Haran evidently was already married. He had a kid. Already had a woman, whatever it is. And he had a kid. Avram and Nachor get married. Shem Eshet Avram Sarai. We know her. Shem Eshet Nachor Milkah. Who does Nachor marry? Milkah. Now, who's Milkah? Bat Haran. Now, my whole life, I honestly thought Bat Haran meant, who was she? The daughter of Haran, meaning the brother of Avram, which makes her niece, which is totally legit, and men marrying their orphan niece is considered to be a great chesed, and it's all a wonderful thing. Somebody pointed out to me, actually this summer, for the first time, that maybe we have to look at the pasuk a little bit differently. If Haran is this Haran, there's no need to introduce him. We already know who he is. He's the son of Terach. Right? So it should have said, Bat Milkah, Bat Haran. The fact that Haran here is introduced as Avi Milkah, which is kind of circular, Vavi Yiskah, seems to mean there's some other guy named Haran, a different Haran. And that Haran is the famous father of Milkah and Yiskah. Evidently, Yiskah is some sort of famous girl or guy. We don't know Yiskah. Chazal say Yiskah is another name for Sarai, which would mean that Milkah and Sarai are sisters. Two sisters marrying two brothers is totally fine, but it means that there's no connection with Lot or with Avram, you know, otherwise. Right? Okay. Could be. In any case, they marry them. Vati Sarai Akara. And then we get a note that we all understand why it's there. This is tremendous foreshadowing that Sarai is barren in La Valad. That's what it means. Okay? Good. And here's the pasuk that really surprises us. Vayikach Terach et Avram beno. So who does Terach, what does Terach do? He takes Avram. That Lot ben Haran ben beno. Who else does he take?
Lot.
Takes Lot. Who's Lot?
Son of Haran.
But notice that, right? The son of Haran, meaning his grandson. Veit Sarai Kalato. Who else does he take? Sarai, his
daughter-in-law.
What's wrong with the order here? Should the order be
Avram and Sarah
and Lot, right? Avram beno. And so, before we get to the rest of the pasuk, let's ask why it's in that order. Why does it say Avram and Lot and Sarai? So, there's two ways to look at it. One is very kind and generous, and one is not. The one that's very kind and generous is, well, let's put two and two together. Lot is an orphan. and Avram and Sarai are childless. So what do Avram and Sarai do? They adopt Lot. So Avram, Lot, and Sarai is a beautiful picture of Avram, Sarai, and in the middle is their adopted child. Very nice. But the other way to look at it, which is not as kind, but I think is probably more accurate, is whose point of view are we looking at here? We're looking at Terach's point of view. From Terach's point of view, who's important?
The man.
Avram. Not the man, Avram. Lot, his orphaned grandson. Oh yeah, and Avram's got some wife that's not even producing kids. Right, so she'll come along. So she's last in line. In any case, Terach takes them. Now who's missing from the group?
Nachor
and Milcah. Possibility one is Nachor and Milcah get left behind. Now, possibility two is that Nachor and Milcah have already left. We'll find out that that's probably the case. But in any case, he goes. And then you have a very strange phrase. Vayetsu itam meor kastim. What does Vayetsu itam mean? Vayetsu itam. They went out itam.
With them.
With them. Wait a second. Terach takes 1, 2, and 3, and they go out with them.
Who?
Who's the them? So either you could say that Terach had some other people along, and these three went with them, or else Terach and these three go, and some other people go with them. Maybe the other people are Nachor and Milcah. Maybe they're, who knows?
Which makes more sense.
Could be. But there's something missing. There's something a little bit weird in the Pasuk. We'll see later on why it's written that way. Now they leave Meor Kasdim. Lalechet Arza Canaan. Terach wants to go to Canaan. If you want to go to Canaan from Baghdad, how do you go? By foot. How do you go? You have to go all the way up that half circle, which we call the
crescent.
Fertile Crescent. You can't go straight. It's a desert. So they go like this. Now, when you follow the Fertile Crescent, you follow the Euphrates up, and you stay in the lush area of southern Turkey, northern Syria, and then you come down through the mountainous area, through Aleppo. Along the way, you're going to hit a town, which in the ancient world was a very big and important town, called Haran. Right? They get to Haran, they stay there. And Terach never moves from there.
Is Haran named after Haran?
No. Different word. Haran and Haran. One's in the Chet, one in the Hay. So they get to Haran, and they stay in Haran. Right? Stay in Haran. Why do they stay in Haran? We don't know. They were on their way to Canaan. Why were they on their way to Canaan? We don't know. And they stay in Haran. And the family seems to stay in Haran, but later on we will find out that Dafka, Nahor, and Milcah are in Haran, which may mean that they already went there earlier. Okay. And then what happens?
That's where Avram's servant goes.
That's exactly where Avram's servant goes to find a wife for Yitzchak, and who does he find? He finds Nahor's granddaughter. Okay? Good. Now, Vayu Yimeterach Chamesh Shanim, which is one time Shanai, lives to 205. Vayamot Terach B'Haran, and he dies in Haran, which means he never leaves Haran. He's in Haran? Okay, good. And we don't know why he's there. A lot of this stuff we don't know. And we don't know devolves into two questions. One is, we don't understand what's going on. And the second thing is, we don't understand why we care. Like, why is this important to us? Avram, I care about. Terach, I don't really care about. Right, except he's the father of Azma. So let's see now how this develops. Vayomar Adonai El Avram, Lech Lecha. Now, where is Avram when Hashem is speaking to him?
Haran.
We assume in Haran. All right? And most Rishonim say he's in Haran, not Tibet Ezra. Lech lecha mi'artecha mo'atecha beit avicha. Leave where? You go from, you, by the way, you go from your land. Molan techa means, okay, so turn the page over for a second. All right? Molan techa. Take a look at the Rashi, source 2. He said, Lech lecha mi'artzacha mo'ladtacha. He said, I don't understand it. You're from Ur Kasdim. You've already left Ur Kasdim. So how can I say leave Ur Kasdim? So Rashi says, "Valo kfar yatzam misham aviv v'avchan." He already left there. Kach amar drachek od misham v'tzeim beit avicha. What he said was, "Oh, leave your land," meaning go further away from your land. Meaning you've already left your land. Keep going, not leave your land, but keep going. It's a little bit difficult, right? The Ibn Ezra says, "Lech lacha Hashem tziva l'Avram v'odenu b'Ur Kasdim." The Ibn Ezra says that he had to have commanded him when he was still in Ur Kasdim, which now, by the way, changes the entire story. It means they're all in Ur Kasdim. Hashem says to Avram, "Lech lacha," which means that now Avraham goes with Terach, but Avram's going for a whole different reason, or else now maybe Terach's part of Avram's journey, which is weird. The Chizkuni has a phenomenal take here. It says, "Mi'artzacha mi'charan, leave Haran, shata darsham, you live there. Kidichtiv la'el ve'vod Haran ikud. Volatacha," meaning, leave your birthplace, but your birthplace is in Ur Kasdim. He says, "Shelo tomar ashuv al eretz molati." Think about it. Hashem said leave. In what direction? So he said, he might have thought, leave means go back to your birthplace. No, go away from your birthplace. Kind of like Rashi. But he says, don't make the mistake of thinking you're supposed to go back to your birthplace, go further away, which is towards Canaan. The Ramban has a whole different take than everybody. The Ramban says, Avram was born in Haran. When Avram tells the slave to go get a wife, he says, go back to my moledet to get a wife. The family was always in Haran. What happened? At some point in time, they picked up and went to Ur Kasdim, and then they left. And evidently, Haran was born in Ur Kasdim. Okay? The reality is, though, that the words are a little bit different. Lech lecha me'artzacha. What does artzacha mean? Your land where you are now. Mimoladacha. What's moledet? So moledet in modern Hebrew, in all the old Zionist songs, moledet means homeland, birthplace. But in Tanakh it doesn't mean that. In Tanakh we have another word for that, which is eretz moledet. Moledet actually means extended family. So me'artzacha u'mimoladcha means your land, your extended family, and mi'beit avicha, and the telescope's in. Big, medium, small. You leave from, right? Mi'artzacha. And so Avram, born in Ur Kasdim, comes to Haran, and now he's told to leave the land he's in now, his extended family, and his father. All right? Interesting thing, just as a side note, is we have notes about how old Terach is, and how old Terach is when he has a kid, and how old he is when he dies. Terach is 70 when he has Avram. And Terach is 205 when he dies, which means how old is Avram when Terach dies? 135, right? Okay. Avram left when he was 75, which means there were 60 years there where Terach was, without Avram, was in Haran. Notice, when Yitzchak is born, nobody makes an attempt to find him a wife. When does Avram finally decide to get him a wife? At some point after Sarah dies. How old is Sarah when she dies? 127. Which makes Avram how old? 137. So it's around that time that Avram sends somebody back to Haran to get a wife for Yitzchak. By the way, how old was Avram when his father died? 135. Which means what's he waiting for? Because what did Hashem tell him? Mibet Avicha. So he can't send anybody back there until father's dead. Because where the word father is dead, he sends somebody back. Maybe. Right? In any case. We all know the blessings. Beautiful. Now what happens? Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha. What does Lech Lecha mean? What does that mean? Lech Lecha. It means you go. You go. Alright? So now, notice what happens. Vayelach Avram.
Lech lecha is you go.
You go.
It's not come with me.
You go. Vayelach Avram, right, which means Avram goes. Ka'asher diber elav Adonai, which means. So what God told him, you go. He went. And then Vayelach Itolot. Who tagged along? Lot. Avram didn't take Lot. Lot tags along. V'Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shem shanam etzitom echvan. He's 75 when he leaves. So do all the math. Now, that's one pasuk that gets contradicted by the next pasuk. Vayikach Avram et Sarai ishto ve'et Lot ben achiv ve'et kol rechusham asher rachashu ve'et hanefesh asher asu v'charan. So now, what does Avram do? He doesn't go, he takes. Who does he take?
Everybody.
Sarai and Lot and his wealth. And what's hanefesh asher asu v'charan? Simplest read is his slaves. Right? And he takes them all. And by the way, asher asu v'charan is an important note, we'll see. They leave to go to Canaan, and they go to Canaan. All right, good. Pasuk Dalet and Hey contradict each other. Did Avram go alone and Lot tagged along? Did Avram take everybody? So I think what's happening here is the way that the Midrash famously explains Perak Aleph and Perak Bet of Bereishit. The Perak Aleph and Perak Bet of Bereishit contradict each other. One of the famous directions of Chazal is to say Perak Aleph is the plan, Perak Bet's the implementation. The plan was Midat HaDin, the implementation was Midat HaRachamim. The plan was Hermaphrodite, the implementation was separate, right? I think the same way, Pasuk Dalet is saying this is what Avram was supposed to do. He was supposed to go on his own. In matter of fact, he took everybody with him.
But he okay. Go on his own and stay or come back?
Go on his own, you're supposed to leave.
What about his family?
That's it. You're supposed to go on your own, make a new family. And by the way, the fact that Sarai is Akara should actually fit very well. You go on your own, start a family there. Right? Instead, he takes Sarai, and his loyalty to Sarai is something we'll maybe talk about it next week. It's a very powerful theme throughout the story. But he does go, he does end up taking them. But now take a look, and this is the critical piece. Take a look at the comparison. Flip the page and look at the comparison between the two travels, the two sojourns of Terach and Avram. Which, if you think about it, and this is what's very misleading, because what happens is one of the worst things for understanding the Tanakh is cholent.
Is what?
Cholent.
That's what I thought you said.
Should I explain it?
Only if you want to.
Okay,
understand
because
what saying.
Shabbat morning, you listen to the parsha. The parsha ends where the parsha ends. You go home, you have cholent, you take a nap, whatever it is. You wake up and you go to mincha and you hear the next parsha, and you don't realize the two are connected because there's cholent in the middle. Right? Meaning that the end of one parsha, the beginning of the next parsha, are still right there next to each other in the Tanakh. And so we end Parsha Noach, and Terach is dead, and finally, and then a couple hours later, or maybe a few hours later, we start hearing the story of Lech Lecha, and that's like a new story. And that's why people think the story starts at Lech Lecha. It doesn't. And when you read these together, you suddenly realize that these two psukim are very similar. Terach's journey and Avram's journey are very described in very similar terms. Vayikach Terach, Vayikach Avram. A list of people. A destination. How far they got. Very similar, and I color-coded them, and I put in black the things that are different. Otherwise, they're color-coded, the ones that are parallel. So let me start by asking this question. Why do people move? Why do people move?
Jobs.
Jobs, exactly. Right? Typically, people move for jobs. Right? In other words, it's about livelihood. In the ancient world, it was typically about livelihood because family was always right there.
Or weather.
Not in the ancient world.
Yeah, drought.
Drought, right. So calamities might force you to move. But that would be typically like a whole population is going to move. Like the whole land is going to empty out because suddenly fire and brimstone, we can't grow anything here in stone. So we're going to all move out if we're not dead. Right? But when there's individuals or tribes that move, they move because they can't make a living. That's the most common reason for a single family movement. You know, tribal movement might be because of persecution or might be because of a calamity, right? Why does Terach leave Ur Kasdim? Well, actually, the answer is in the pasuk, right? Now, there's some people who suggested Terach left Ur Kasdim because Haran had died and it was too tragic for him. He couldn't stay there. Some people suggested because Haran died in Ur Kasdim and Terach was now kind of hunted. Right, could be. But I think the answer is in the Pasuk. Take a look at the comparison. What does Terach take with him when he leaves?
Family.
What does Avram take with him?
Family
and wealth. So what does that tell you about Terach?
Doesn't have any money.
So why is Terach moving?
Job.
Moving to get a livelihood, find a livelihood. So he takes Avram, he takes Lot, he takes Sarai, and they go towards Canaan. Why does he go towards Canaan? Because he heard that there is opportunities in Canaan. Now, in the meantime, when you're going like this, and you've got a tribe, you yourself, the man, the little kid, the wife, you know, you're traveling, you got to make some stops. So make some stops. Along the way, they make a stop. Where do they make a stop? In Haran. Could be Nahor and Milcah already there. Could be his other family there. By the way, both Ur Kasdim and Haran, we have lots of documentation about that, share a lot of cultural things, including moon worship. I want you to think, what's his name? Terach, Yareach. What is Nahor's grandson's name? Lavan, Lavana. All right? There's a lot of that kind of back and forth. And now, he stops on the way. What does he do? He stops in Haran. Why does he stop in Haran? Why does Terach stop in Haran? Because what's he going to Canaan for? To make a living. So why does he stop in Haran? Evidently, he finds he can make a living there. And how do we see that? Because Avram is told in Haran to leave, and what does Avram take with him? Look at it carefully. At Kol Rechusham Asher Achashu, all the possessions that they got, V'etan Nefesh Asher Asu V'Haran, the people that they had acquired in Haran. What does that tell you? In Haran, what happened to them?
Successful.
They became successful. They became wealthy. Now, look at the two psukim next to each other. Vaykach Terach, Vaykach Avram. All right? Avram, Sarai, Lot, etc. And then Avram, I put in green, right? Takes his possessions, takes his wealth. And then, Vayetzu, Lalechad Arza Canaan. They're both going towards Canaan. But the difference is, of course, Avram gets to Canaan. Haran doesn't. Nahor, Terach doesn't. Why? Because what was Terach going for? Terach's moving like everybody else moves. He's not a bad guy. He's just a regular guy. He's moving like everybody else is moving. He gets to Haran, finds he can make a living. He actually becomes wealthy. And his son now has slaves and has property, and it's great. A teacher of mine once said, he was in front of 1,000 people, and, you know, all who like to poke fun at Americans, so it was like easy to say, get away with. I said, Afachad lo olam me Beverly Hills. Right? It's not true. So nobody makes Aliyah from Beverly Hills. People make Aliyah from Soviet Union. People make Aliyah from places where things are either economically terrible or persecution is terrible. You know, France. But not nobody makes Aliyah from Beverly Hills. I said, I'll introduce you to people who did. Right? Okay. But there is a lot to be said there. That immigration is typically the result of some sort of a need of something you don't have here, and it's going to be greater over there. Immigration of Terach is a normal immigration. Why are we told about it? To highlight Avram's immigration. What's Avram's immigration about? It's about an ideal. Avram is an Oleh L'Shem Shamayim. He's making Aliyah for the right purpose. Because Avram's got the wealth. Avram's got the slaves. Avram's got everything he needs. He goes for one reason. Because Hashem said go. And that's where he's supposed to go. So we're told about Terach's journey basically to describe a mundane, regular journey that anybody would take. And it's highlighted by what's missing, which is property, and what's there, which is stopping on the way, and that's good enough. And then you have opposite that, Avram's journey, which is a journey in which he takes his wealth, he's got his wealth with him, and he doesn't stop until he gets where he's told. And by the way, even when he gets there, he keeps going to try to find the place that Hashem is going to show him, which is something that maybe we'll talk about next week.